From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 545. In this episode, Scott talks with noted humorist, blogger, and philanthropist Lavi Ajayi about her brand, her tech, and her new book entitled I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today we've got a really special guest. It's Lavi Ajayi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You know, for folks that may not have heard or remembered that you and I had a podcast. We had a podcast for like about 2 years. It was called Ratchet and the Geek. You can go and listen to it if it makes you happy. And we talked about TV shows and pop culture and all the kind of exciting stuff that we shared. I think we ended up doing 17 episodes.
Yeah.
And then it went away. And it went away for a really good reason. I was really sad because we were having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but then
we were.
You started to write.
Oh, man. My life basically took off and I stopped having time and I never knew where I was going to be on any given day. Mm-hmm. And traveling with equipment was not going to be possible for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You started to write and how long did it take you? You wrote a book and it's coming out September 13th. When did you write this book? Did you write it on the road? Was this a book that was written in airports?
Yeah, so my book is called I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual. And I wrote it last year while traveling to 6 countries, 4 continents across 5 months.
Man, this is the thing. I thought I did the most. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm excited to have you on the show. Because when we met like years ago, I was like the OG blogger and we would compare traffic.
Yeah.
And then I would watch you make these amazing moves and you would improve your writing. You'd improve your blog. We would change our templates, you know?
Yeah.
I would change my template. I'd show you like, look at my blog template. It looks so much better. And then you would show me yours like, oh, it looks even better. And now you've lapped me completely. Your blog traffic is completely off the charts. I mean, million people a month or more are reading your blog. It's amazing. I am so happy for you and so excited that people are going to be able to read your book.
I'm excited too because I've been blogging for 13 years. So, You know, it's people are like, what made you write a book? I'm like, it was the next step. It was the organic next step. I wanted people to hold on to something besides something they can click on online.
Yeah, there's a physicality to it. I think knowing you walking around airports, I bet you sat in an airport bookstore and you said, I'm going to be in the front of the bookstore on that shelf.
Oh, yeah. Every time I walk by one of those Hudson News or Barbara bookstores now, I'm like, I cannot wait until the first time I walk past and my book is sitting in the window. That is going to be a cool moment.
Has that happened yet? That's not going to happen. Like I said, it hasn't happened yet because the book comes out on the 13th. But
yeah,
I've got a physical copy right here and it smells really good. It smells like a book.
Yes.
So that's a really great point that you made, though. You have been blogging for 13 years. And I think when people see what they perceive as overnight success, they don't realize overnight success takes decades.
Exactly. I call myself a 13-year overnight success because people see what I've done and they're like, oh my gosh, you just came out of nowhere. I'm like, no, there were many years when I wasn't getting anything. And I was wondering if I was just banging my head against an invisible wall. So I think it comes down to people really understanding that there are no overnight successes.
Do you think that when people, like I talk to people about blogging and they ask me like, how do you do it? I'm sure you get the same thing. You know, you get fans, you get people who are excited and you tell them, well, start blogging for a year or two and expect no viewers. Like blog for a year and no one will read it. And they always laugh. Like, but you're like, no, that's really the advice I'm giving you. Like you're going to blog for a year and no one's going to care.
Yeah. I mean, I think people now, they come out the gate being like, oh, I'm going to blog and I'm going to make a lot of money with it. And instead of them perfecting their content and ensuring that they're doing good work, they're so obsessed on monetizing that they never get good work done.
I mean, we blogged for free
for a long time.
Long time. Like most of it. Like I've been blogging, I don't know, like what is it now, 15 years? I would say the first 12 before I got sponsors. And even then, the sponsors are not the kind of sponsors where I'm going to, you know, as we say, move out of my parents' house and get my own place.
I mean, I think for, let me see, I've been blogging for 13 years and I didn't start making money on it until like 2012. So 9 years of nothing.
Yes. Exactly. But you did it for the love.
I did it for the love.
The love of writing.
Yeah.
And speaking of the love, you've built this community. What is the name of your community?
My community is called Love Nation.
L-U-V. Love Nation.
Two V's. L-U-V-V Nation.
Okay. And these are like, they are almost like you're an extra arm because they're, and sometimes they write for you. You'll bring up a topic. They'll talk about it. You'll ask them if you can include some of their content on your blog. And it is like that collaborative process where you get to see the humor from your community come out in your blog post. That's so wonderful.
Yeah. My audience is fantastic. They named themselves Love Nation because they felt like they needed to have a community name. So my audience is also really attached to my voice and they actually consider themselves long distance cousins because we've created this camaraderie. And yeah, they created content for me because my audience, you know how like on the internet, people say, don't read the comments. It is the opposite for me on my blog and on my social platforms. You want to read the comments because these are the funniest, most thoughtful, most hilarious people on the internet.
Do you, and you don't have to, they self-police, they push people out if mean people show up?
They definitely self-police. Like I'll show up and see one hateful comment that's already been handled. And they're very protective of the environment of making sure that we keep Love Nation and all my platforms as a safe space for people to come laugh, to come think, to come say things that are honest, but not hateful. So yeah, they absolutely defend it.
So, you say all of your different platforms. How many places are you? And it all comes together at awesomelylovey.com.
I am on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. On a lesser level.
You were early on in Pinterest. You did some fairly innovative stuff in Pinterest.
I am on Pinterest still. So I do still use Pinterest a little bit, but I don't hang out in Pinterest. You know, like I'll pin something or sometimes I'll have like a 30-minute downtime where I just scroll around Pinterest. But unlike Facebook, where I sit in there for hours, Pinterest is where I just go to kind of walk by.
So your blog is running on WordPress, or what do you run? What do you run all of these?
All of my websites are on WordPress. Mm-hmm. So Awesomely Lovey is on WordPress. My other blog, Awesomely Techie, where I talk about business and technology, is on WordPress. My mothership site, Lovey.org, where it joins everything together, is on WordPress too. So I've been using WordPress basically exclusively for the past 6 years.
You know, it seems a little bit to me like with people today, it's not as much a bright line as it used to be between techies and not techies. Like when I was coming up, it was pretty clear like, oh, you're a techie. I'm not a techie. We would self-select and we would separate each other.
Right.
But you're not a programmer, are you?
No, but I am a former designer. And I can do CSS and little bit of PHP, but not enough to call myself a programmer by long shot.
I think you sell yourself short though, because you could probably, you know, sharing buttons, upgrading WordPress, putting in plugins. Like this is where the line gets blurred, where like everyone's a techie now. You are your own techie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit of a techie just because I love using technology to do good. And I also love using technology to just elevate my business. So in that way, that's why I learned how to code on WordPress. That's why I learned how to customize a template. So because it was for my own selfish reasons, I didn't want to always have to pay somebody to make any slight change to my website.
Absolutely. And we say we should, for your own selfish reasons and for elevating your business, did you work in an office and then do this on the side? Or how did you like escape the office?
Yeah. So I was working, I had a full-time job up until April 2010. And I was teaching nonprofits how to use social media to tell their stories better and to show their work. So got laid off that job and I haven't had another full-time job since. This has been my full-time job since, 6 years.
Did you doubt at all? Did you sit there in your apartment with your computer and looking at your page views and just saying, I don't know how I'm going to make this into a business? Was there a low point at all?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't think I was going to make it into a business. I was still looking for other jobs, but anytime I would try to get other jobs, I'd get a new client to do social media consulting with, or, I'd start building somebody else's website, or a brand will say, hey, we want you to do this campaign with this. So I never got a chance to get that new job, even though every month I would be on LinkedIn being like, okay, let me stop playing and get a job.
That means that the universe then is trying to keep you from working in an office. Like just when you're trying to get a job, the universe brings you a client, brings you an opportunity.
Basically, it was kind of like, pay attention. You're not listening to me. That's what happened. And I finally was like, okay, so I don't think I'm supposed to be working in somebody's office. So let's see if we can make this thing work.
And the numbers keep coming down. Like it's so large. Like I was looking at your Facebook now. It's almost 250,000 people. Like this is legit.
Yeah.
Is this the kind of thing where, you know how like a story goes viral and then you see somebody go from 10,000 to 1,000,000 to 10 million? Or is this a little bit at a time, like slow and steady wins the race?
It's a little bit at a time. I don't place ads on Facebook on any platform really. Because for me, I think, one, I've been too lazy to do it. But I was just...
I love that you admit that. You just go right for it.
It's like, I don't need ads. And I kind of just watched. So people naturally just shared my content because they thought it was interesting. So my audience would just grow that way. So I might have done one Facebook ad ever just to test it out. But I was like, underwhelmed.
So it sounds like you really believe in organic content. Like get likes by being likable.
Absolutely. You know what my biggest pet peeve is? Are the people who buy followers. It is,
you can.
So they're actually software and people you can pay who will skyrocket your followers. But here's the thing. When you buy followers who are robots, you don't get any engagement. Mm. So like I've seen some Facebook fan pages that have 400,000 followers. But then they throw up a picture that can only get 20 likes.
Yes. So that's where, are you chasing page views or are you chasing an authentic engagement and comments?
In that way, the people who do that are chasing just a raw number.
I think that, would you say that when people are out there thinking about their page views, that they really should be thinking about community?
They absolutely should. They should be thinking about community and content. Because content is still king.
Yeah.
It is still king and still what matters the most. And when people ask me like, how did you grow your followers? And I tell them slowly over time by doing good work, it sounds like a con, right? It sounds like I'm basically giving them some cliche statement, but it's absolutely true. I've always focused on doing work that I'm proud of and doing work that is true to my voice. And that's been the secret to my success.
It seems like, how they tell you that you need to like eat well and sleep well. Like they tell you all this stuff that you need to do that you know is good for you, but it doesn't like feed you as much. Like it's like, I just want to eat chocolate, but no, eat well. And in 20 years, good things will happen.
Right.
You're giving us like the social media strategy for doing just that. Except the problem is it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Right. And I think people are kind of looking for the shortcut. And I always say there's no real shortcut that's going to pay off in the long run. Because, yes, you can buy followers. But if you get hired to do a campaign and the brand sees that you only got 20 likes, even though you have 400,000 Facebook fans, that brand is not going to come back to you to work with you again. So instead of chasing all these short term gains, you might want to be in it for the long term and get the real money.
So you've taken this from just being a blog, but you needed to make money, right? This needs to make money.
Right.
Is it just a matter of banner ads or can you sell things? Can you sell you know, swag?
So I pulled all the ads off my website a year ago.
You have no ads now.
No ads on my website. And I've had the most profitable year of my career. And my decision to pull the ads off my site was because ads, since they're so commonplace now, they aren't worth as much as they used to be worth. So some people used to pay their rent off their ads and really have some, make some money off it. But over the years, the value of ads has dropped considerably. So now I just do custom campaigns with brands. And if they want an ad on my sidebar, that's an added value for them since there are no other ads to compete with.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So people can do like a takeover?
Right. But I still don't even do those mainly because, I always talk to brands and say, hey, editorial content is the best way I can get your message out.
You know, that's really interesting because there are brands that'll come to you or come to someone and they'll say, hey, let's work with you. And you're like, really? Why should we work together? That doesn't seem like a natural thing at all. You did a video with Bounty. That was like the paper towel people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. Like, and I don't just say that because you're my friend. I'm telling you, that was like, wow, how did you just take paper towels and turn it into something fun and authentic and interesting?
Well, so that Bounty ad was really fun. They came to me because they wanted to do this thing in conjunction with the Olympics. And they wanted to kind of match me with Allyson Felix in that track. And we're kind of built the same because I just don't run. But I do work out. I just started working out in April because I decided I should probably have a healthy heart, even though I'm skinny. But it was important for me to also make it me.
Mm-hmm.
And Bounty is a product that I use every single day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like every day. So for me, I could speak very authentically to my love of Bounty and how I use it every day and how I use it when I'm going to the gym because I'm eating a bagel walking into the gym.
Yeah. See, that was what I thought was so fun because it's like, oh, there's Levy running. That's great. She's getting fit. Oh, there's Levy having a bagel after the workout. Like I could see that too.
Exactly. So people who watched it, who know me, were like, this was a perfect campaign for you.
Yeah. I did a thing for Lenovo a while back, and it was kind of a similar kind of a deal where it's like, you know, you can't just walk in with just any old brand that you don't use every day.
Exactly.
And speak authentically about
it. Yeah, you can. And I'm very cognizant of that too. Like I just got offered a campaign with like a movie I don't really watch. And I told them, I was like, see, I wouldn't be able to do this because I don't really watch this movie. I haven't watched the series. I got offered another campaign from a shoe company whose shoes I do not like. And I was like, not going to be able to do it because I would not wear any of those shoes. So, you know, for me, it's important for my audience to know that whatever I do, I'm not just doing it because I'm getting paid to do it. I'm doing it because I actually stand behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I find the same thing. Like I'll recommend like, a gadget or something and I'll put an Amazon link and then mark that it's a referral link or whatever. But people know, like if you build up that trust over years, that it's like, I'm telling you that this iPhone case or this router or this, you know, whatever is legit. And trust me, you're standing behind it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So you also sell like, swag and stuff. The swag though comes, the t-shirts and mugs, it comes from like sayings that you've developed over time. Did you have to like find a voice or is this like who you have always been?
This is who I've always been, which makes my life a little bit easier because if I was writing in a voice that was not really mine and I had to think about it too hard, I probably would not be writing this often or I probably wouldn't even be at the level I'm in because I just wouldn't love it as much as I do. So this has always been me, and people who read my blog and know me in real life will say like, I actually heard your voice when I was reading words, which lets me know, yes, I am showing who I am. Truly.
Yeah, because you're doing it right. Like, if you think about Stephen Colbert, we're all still freaking out because it's like, wait a second, he wasn't that guy? Like, well, who is this guy? Like,
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking, I'm just sitting here scrolling through some of your things that you have a website called Tees in the Trap where you've got all of your different, you know, travel mugs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you've always done as long as I've known you is spelling words phonetically. Like the way I like to say that you spell words the way it feels in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
You know what I mean? like even in your book, like I'm looking at your book right here at the end of it, you talk about how, you know, you do your thank yous and everything, and you talk about how God is good, and you say he's God is good all the time, and you spell it like A-L-L-A-T-H-A-M, all the time, all caps, exactly. Because that's exactly how it feels
that's
in your mouth.
That's a great descriptor of it, actually, Scott.
You like that? You can use that.
Yes, I'm going to have to do that, because that's a great way to put it into how I present it on paper.
And it's so funny, because a couple years ago, when you started doing this, like, in earnest, the spell check people would show up.
Oh.
And they missed the joke.
Yeah, yeah. So the newbies still be like, wait, what? And I'm like, read the glossary, understand what is happening here. I know the rules of English, which is why I can break them, okay? When exactly. You know the rules, you can break them.
Well, and that's the thing about good writing, though, right? I mean, do we need to put stuff in italics to show people that we're spelling it wrong? And we know, do you need, like, roll with it. Like, we know English. Let's assume that if you've written a book that you, you know, have a good understanding of the language, and now you're playing with the language. And that's exactly. What's so fun is to play.
Exactly. It's the bending of the rules. And, you know, I think people read it and they laugh because they're like, oh, yeah. Because when you read it out loud, you're like, that's exactly how I said it.
So I'm looking at the book. I've got an advanced edition. It says, I'm judging you. And there's a picture of a red lollipop on the front. And he looks like he's judging me.
Yes.
He's got a side eye.
Yes, that is Judgy Pop. Has a name and an Instagram account now.
Okay.
Because, yes,
Judgy Pop has his own Instagram.
It's whatever you
is
want
it a boy
to
or a girl? Does it matter?
Judgy Pop is whatever you want it to be. and it has its own Instagram account because people now take the actual lollipop with them to have adventures, and they take it around the world. So it's been to London. It's been to Vienna. It's been to the San Francisco MoMA. So I plan on having Judgy Pop come with me around the world whenever I go out the country myself next year.
This is like the garden gnome, but it's so much better because the garden gnome just smiles when you take him around. I love that I can actually see people and then judge them.
Exactly. And it's really fun because I always see somebody, I always see what people tag to it on Instagram now. So like they have their babies holding it because, you know, babies are super judgy.
Babies are judgy and people don't even know.
Exactly. Like babies are the best thing there because they just look at you like you should do better. So
when people see this, there's going to be someone out there who's going to take this seriously and like, I'm judging you, the do better manual, but it's both serious and funny. I mean, it's hilarious through the entire book, but at the same time, you are telling people to do better and you are judging them.
Yeah. And I'm judging myself along with them because, you know, like things like the fact that I can't be on time for anything. Mm. I kicked off the book with that. you know, this book, it's kind of the conscience of culture. It's the good angel on our shoulder that's kind of like, you should probably do better. You should probably not be a hateful person. You should probably be a little bit more gentle with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're at it, you should probably leave this world a little bit better than you found it.
Yeah, absolutely. You go through, you cover everything in this book. Now, you've broken it up into a couple of sections. You've got life, culture, social media, and fame.
Yeah.
And you definitely, it's interesting because I see pictures of you online with famous people all the time, including my girl Lupita,
yes.
Who you need to get a message to her for me. but you also talk about this thing called microwave fame.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, are we going from, like, is it 15 minutes of fame? Like, what was it? Who was the guy who said that?
I can't remember who said it, but it
became like,
a thing.
In the future, everyone will want their 15 minutes of fame?
Yeah.
Who was that? Andy Warhol.
Okay.
Right? That's happening, though. Like, people want to be famous just because they think that, oh, I invented this word, or I did this vine, now give me a TV show.
Right. And, you know, that's become a thing that actually is kind of weird because people are now doing anything they can to get famous, which is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, because they'll take foolishness and then just put it online, or they'll like, gosh, there's been some horrible things where people have been, you know, berating their kids and putting it online. And it, like you say here, that the internet has normalized this culture of dishonesty.
It has, because now everyone is like, oh my gosh, what can I throw up on Instagram to be famous today? What can I do to get everyone's attention, even if it's not really what I'm supposed to be doing? So that is something that I'm seeing that I'm hoping we get to pull in a little bit.
Yeah. Like if you think about, what was that? The swimmer, See, I'm actually consciously forgetting the swimmer's name because I don't want to give him any more fame.
Right.
But, you know, the one that goes and doesn't get robbed in Rio, you know, he was probably just trying to like subconsciously just be more famous. Like, oh, this will be a great story. I'll just tell everyone and I'll be more famous and it'll be hilarious. And I'll go on the tonight, you know, the Today Show and talk about it.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. The lengths we would go to get attention. It's so ridiculous. And I'm hoping that like we stop rewarding this behavior.
It's hard though, because, you know, even with kids, they'll put a video on Instagram and they'll wait, you know, like, oh, I got 3 likes. I got 4 likes. I don't know. I don't know if I want my kids online, if that's what we're sending them into a world of. I want them to go into like Love Nation. I want them to go into a loving community, not a community that is just going to reward that kind of behavior.
Well, I also think it's important for you to have a strong sense of self. So, because the internet can mold you into who it thinks you should be. If you're a strong person who knows who you are, what your Ooh. Core values are, you're able to deal with some of these temptations and mm-hmm. the like culture better. But if you're kind of like, oh, I don't really know, then it's going to eat you up.
That is deep, because yeah, if you enter the internet as just a piece of clay, like it depends on who you bump into first.
Exactly. Who's there to mold your Play-Doh. So, yeah.
Yeesh. So you are going to go on tour, and how many cities are you going to hit?
I am currently scheduled to hit like 14 cities.
I don't know how you do it. You got to be tired.
Oh man, that's why I'm sitting down for the next 2 weeks before the book launches, to kind of get my breath back, because once this fall starts, it's going to be nuts.
Do you feel like the book launch is going better than you thought? I mean, like, I knew it was going to go well, but I've been seeing famous people online with your book. And it's not the kind of famous people where like someone gave them a book and said, take a picture. It's like they are legitimately interested in your book. You know, like, yeah. I saw Amy Poehler with your book. I saw Ava DuVernay with your book. I saw Shonda Rhimes with your book.
Yeah. It's actually blown my mind, because I didn't expect the feedback that it would be getting to be so good. And that basically lets me know that I did something really good here.
Yeah, you touched on a nerve. Like there was a vacuum out there, and this book was wanted, and you know, maybe the world didn't even know they wanted the book.
Right. And I think it was also the right time for it, because there's a lot happening right now that people kind of want to talk through and people have the frustrations about. So it's kind of right on time.
You realize, of course, that like they're going to want like part two.
Some people have been asking me about part two. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even get through part
out,
one.
And they want
part two. The book is not even out yet. People talking about some part two. I'm like, oh man, will part two be like, I'm still judging you? Like,
you continue to disappoint.
Right. You continue. You still haven't done better.
I'm back. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's true though. Did you write this all in one like sitting, or is this one of those like 500 words a day for several months?
Yeah.
Like, cause I need, you know, I've been working on my relationship book for as long as I've known you.
Oh my gosh.
But I just, what is the trick? Why I got to just drink a lot of coffee? How did you do it?
Self-control and being, having a contract with a deadline that says you have to do this by this date. But also I think I wrote a book proposal that gave me clarity on what this book needed to be about.
Oh really?
So when it was time for me to write it, I had 17 pages of chapter summaries already to refer back to if I had any type of block. But having an outline beforehand paid off by dividends, because I had a strong sense of, okay, this is what I'm going to do next. This is what the next chapter is going to be about already. So I think you might need to have a planning session with yourself as opposed to just writing blindly.
Oh, okay. That's a really good point. You're right. Because if you do go out there and just like, hey, I'm going to write a book. I got the book in me. I'm just going to slap the keyboard and the book's going to pop out.
It's not. You have to, like, I wrote an outline first, and then I wrote my chapter summaries, and then the book came out of those. Like, and the chapter summaries and the outline are probably about 70% accurate to what's in the book.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty dead on.
So that fleshing out process is so important.
It is. It is. It's what is going to make the difference between you finishing and you just spending time still typing random words.
Yeah. You know, I just clicked on Amazon. You know, it still says number one release in humor and literary criticism.
That is cool. Oh, man.
Like, you know how sometimes people will, like a book will come out and then they'll take the screenshot of the 5 seconds that the book is at number one? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it changes.
It changes so fast.
This has been sitting here for a while.
Yeah, it's actually been doing pretty well on Amazon for a bit. So that's cool.
You you know, you need to actually get up here and take a screenshot because the top three hot new releases in humor.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, wow. So it's,
I'll take a screenshot because it is your paperback, your Audible book, and your Kindle edition are all the hot new release right now.
That is dope. I did not know that was the thing.
And then, yeah, I'll put the link right here. And then somebody, you know, some sad person, like, number four.
Wow. We don't know who those people That's are. Cool. You just, I didn't even notice that.
That's great. I'm just so happy for you. This is going to be huge.
I, you know what's, and also, you know what's crazy? It's already getting TV, it's already getting TV attention.
You mean like being on the Today Show or something? Or are you going to like have a TV show?
No, like it's already, like two people have already reached out to my agent, like, hey, are option and rights available for this book?
Wow. How would you do that? Like, would it be like a comedy?
Yeah.
Like, you imagine a talk show or you mean like someone else is going to play Lovey?
I don't know. But yeah, so
that'd be crazy. It could be like the Carmichael Show or something, and you could be the middle person, right? The main person.
That's true. But you know what? I don't really necessarily want to act. I would rather write a show than be the person acting in it.
You know what people would want to see you, though? I mean, you could just play yourself.
True.
And then let everyone else play around you.
True.
Just saying.
That could work.
I'm just saying.
That could work, because the only person I can play is myself.
Well, you remember that if you know, when it comes time to cast, if you need White Scott to come by,
yeah,
I'll be the neighbor.
I got you.
So people can check this out at imjudgingyoubook.com. Or if you just go and Google for Lovey, L-U-V-V-I-E, you will be a click away from learning about Lovey, buying her book, and checking out 13 years of amazing content and this special book, which is coming out September 13th. Thanks so much for chatting with me.
Thanks, Scott. Chancel.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.